हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 28, text 210. It says in the Brahmatarka, the Lord is endowed with qualities which arise from his sarup. The qualities of Vishnu and liberated souls are not different from their sarups. That's what it says. Yes. The qualities of Vishnu and liberated souls are not different from the sarups, right? So that means their form and their qualities are not different. Material world, then they're different, right? It means the body is made out of dead matter. The qualities that are there are the modes of nature that are imposed upon that conditioning, right? So it functions according to that. And the soul means it's just like, let's say, the body has some qualities of goodness, but now what is the motive behind that? Now the soul basically is functioning because of lust, greed, anger, envy, these things. So then the difficulty comes up is that the nice qualities that you see in a conditioned living entity aren't specifically their qualities. They're only the borrowed qualities. But in a devotee, now because they're in that liberated position, so now we see the qualities that develop, that they have, those are the qualities of the soul. So those are actually their qualities. The other ones are borrowed. Yes?
When you say the devotees and the swarup and their swarup in spiritual world are not different.
Yes.
The soul is very small.
Yes.
So the body and the soul, they will be the same?
They're just, they, I mean, so you're wondering if they'll have a very, very microscopic body like that?
It's all like a house.
Krishna has to walk around with a magnifying glass. Oh, there you are, yeah. No, because just that's the form. So that's the natural form of the soul. When you remove those qualities and that aspect, then the soul assumes just 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. So that's the size of B in the material world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let's say, just since you mentioned a microbe, then these little microbes, then if they're in the natural environment, they have their regular size. If there's, let's say, no moisture, you know, let's say, I think where they figured this out was from the pyramids, right? Because they're designed to have no moisture, because, you know, mummies stay good and no moisture, right? Like that. So then the microbes themselves, they just go dormant and reduce down to 1/1,000th their normal size. Even though they're so small, they become one, because, you know, because all it is there's that outside thing a little bit in the middle and the rest is all kind of liquid. So if you get rid of all the liquid, all you have is the outside and the inside just, you know, and they just sit like that for a long time waiting for some moisture to come along. And then when it comes along, then haribo, right? You know, there they are again, right? So the soul becomes just that size because there is no rasa with Krishna. The spiritual form is the natural expression. But there is no natural expression of the living entity and material energy. Therefore, it has to be assumed. Yeah, you understand. Like that. So that's you.
So the natural qualities of the soul is sachi dananda.
Yes.
Then what qualities do we develop? Like in what area? What is the development?
Means there's 26 qualities of the devotees. So sachi dananda, all those qualities fall within them.
It's in sachi dananda.
Yeah, because sat means sambandha, chit means abhideya, and ananda means prayojana. Right? So let's say self-satisfied, that would be in sambandha. You know, they're determined or they're kind. Or, you know, all these different things would be just elements that they have. Then they want to be engaged in activities. Right? So then that's your abhideya. And then they want to express that love for Krishna and that exchange, that happiness that comes from that. That's the prayojana. Does that make sense? So the qualities, they're all with you have all these qualities and they all have their relationship with each other. So in the material world they move in certain fashion, which is according to the mechanics you'll find in the spiritual world. But here, because the modes are operating it, then you know that, okay, if you start this, you'll get this. You know, if you control this, then you control that. You know, you can control greed by controlling making plans. Because plans means you get more facilities, and then, you know, you get more facilities, you get more desire. So, things like that. So, but in the spiritual world, they're just moving from one into the next, because it's all connected to Krishna. So it's not getting worse. Any quality that's being manifest, it's in connection to Krishna. So naturally, then all those elements just naturally go towards Krishna. Does that make sense? So the sanchari bhavas are generally those little elements of moods and all that. But you can see them; they have their physical forms, so you know what they are. Does that make sense? You know, is that, yeah, like that. That's the thing. Yes.
What are these borrowed forms in the material?
Borrowed will be according to the mentality. Like Krishna explains in the Gita that the mind, because when you come into the material world, then you get your particular quota of mind. You know, and that follows you around until you leave. Right. So that element of mind, then whatever it is that you desire specific, then you develop the form that goes with it. So because you're always changing, then the soul will remain as 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. And then they will just change bodies according to the mentality. The spiritual world, then the mentality is to serve Krishna, so then the spiritual form manifests, and that's eternal. So it's not something that requires change. But here is if the mind is thinking, you know, how you say, one likes good smell, one has the, karma for it, then one gets a nose for it, right? Or, you know, the eyes that go with that. You want to see, you know, human things. You see like this, you know, dogs, you know, they may see differently. Or fish, you know, then, you know, you don't have to worry. Fish don't blink. So if you don't like blinking, then fish are there. Right? So all those different things. You know, if you like standing where you are and don't want to move your hands but want to pick things up, then you get a nose like an elephant, right? You know, so then you can do these things.
That's a borrowed quality.
These are all borrowed. So then the elephant has quality. Like elephants are, in one sense, a bit in the mode of goodness. They don't sleep much, right? They're very personal, right? They have very good memories, you know, these kind of elements. And so they have those things. Cows also don't sleep so much and everything like that. Let's say like a bear, you know, 6 months they go to sleep. They're out, right? So these are just, the modes make them like that, but it's not actually the qualities of the soul. So then in one person you see they're very pleasant and nice. It's not their qualities, actually it's borrowed qualities that go with the conditioning that they're attracted to. They want to enjoy in that particular way, therefore then they develop those. So then, but next life, it doesn't mean they'll be nice. They may be, you know, very crotchety or something like that. So they're just, it's just constantly changing. Even in this life, we see it changes. But for the devotee, when they develop, let's say, humility or these things, these are actually qualities of the soul. And so that remains, that doesn't go away. You might be able to cover it again, but as soon as you come back to Krishna, it comes out again. That's why you see devotees that may not have been practicing for a long time, when they come in contact with Krishna conscious, whatever was kind of the things they could do before, they're able to do them again. You know? So it just works because those are their qualities. So that's why only devotees actually had good qualities. That's why we can boldly make the statement, materialists don't have any good qualities. They may be, you may in the interaction see good qualities, but they don't belong to the living entity. So you can't credit them with it. That means they've had the desire, so they move themselves in those directions, better qualities are there. Okay, that's there, but it's still not their qualities. You know, it's just like that. You know, the pilot. You know, one pilot's driving, flying a little Cessna. The other one's flying, you know, one of these new fancy ones that have the double decks. So, but he can't claim it's his. Right? It's just he's wanted that qualification. He endeavored to get that qualification. Then he's rewarded, but it's not his. Yes.
So does that mean good qualities are inherent from the soul, and bad qualities are product of the mind and the intelligence?
You can say that. The natural thing is there, but the materialist, even he's manifesting good qualities, they're just being manifest by the world of goodness. Right? That's what's going on. The guy's very dynamic, going out, yeah, he's always there, and things like that. But, you know, he's, you know, very professional, very, you know, does his job, gets, you know, well paid for it. There's, you know, the motive passion is there. He has that drive, he has those things. But he understands that there's ways to do things, and he follows that. He's not whimsical. The professional is not whimsical. That's why they have facility. And the person who's whimsical, he doesn't have facility. So they know that. So motive passion means following the laws of the mode of goodness for your own purpose. Mode of goodness is following the laws of mode of goodness because you're supposed to. So that's why most who are successful in the world are in the mode of passion. And means that's most of who's successful. They're in the mode of passion. There is many varying degrees of goodness and or ignorance, because no mode is pure. So you're going to see variation there. But most in the world are in ignorance. So that's why you see most people are just getting by.
Survival.
Yeah, just survival. Is that? Yeah, so the thing is The qualities are there because they're Krishna's qualities. So what you're seeing manifest in the person is Krishna's qualities. So by their work and endeavor, their desire, then those qualities are what are manifesting. But it's not technically their qualities, they're Krishna's qualities. Like that. But they're just borrowed from the modes. Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, for the materialist, even though he's a very wonderful person, it's not actually the soul that's wonderful. What you're seeing manifest is just, those are the modes of nature that they have acquired. So it's wonderful. Just like, let's say, the guy has a nice car. It's not that he is nice like the car. The car is nice. You know, you relate him to the car. But it's not actually, he has the qualities of the car. Right? The car is very fast. He's not fast. You know? Like that, you know, it's very, the color is nice, but it's not that, that's the color of the soul. So the same way the body is the same thing. It's not, those are the qualities of the living entity. The mode of passion, we tend to see them like that. And then we think, these souls are good, these souls are not good. That's mode of passion.
It's interesting because you often find artists, genius, amazing philosophers, writers, thinkers, you know, they have an amazing intelligence.
You left out madmen.
When you look into their private lifestyle, you know, they're like drinkers.
Oh, no, they're the worst, yeah.
Isn't it?
The worst, yeah.
And you wonder, how can they have such a character and then produce amazing things? Yeah.
No, I think there's even a saying in the intellectual world about how those who are the most intelligent, you know, or intelligence doesn't necessarily mean that it's not, you know, connected with character. There's something I remember once Sotomayor mentioned it, but it's a saying in the intellectual world. It's about the irony. They were talking about the irony of this as you see that.
Yeah.
See, because now you're working with intelligence, so intelligence is the lord of the senses. So the senses function by intelligence. So they're very intelligent how to utilize the senses.
Yeah.
So that's why they can be like that, very intelligent, very sensual, but not necessarily emotionally very compatible. They can be dysfunctional, right? I didn't want to make it look bad for the quantumists there, but I'm saying you understand. So the whole point is that is because they're only focusing on that one aspect, and so that's all they have. So the mind function is minimal, just in relation to that. That's where they get their taste. So, and we see that the Lord of as was Rupa Goswami mentioned from the Pancharatra, that Prajumna is the Lord of the senses. And Prajumna is, his manifestation within the world, and the place where it interacts with us is Cupid. So therefore Cupid, senses, intelligence, they all go together. That's why you have to have that balance. That's why you need to know all four so you can keep it properly balanced. Or if you just have mind, then they go crazy. So sometimes it's like I say, a lot of these great who are great in these fields, technically they're clinical, but it's just that no one's reported them. If it's one of the psychiatrists came down there, then they would probably book them in, give them a nice room. Yes.
I knew an artist who said once that an artist is just a crazy man with an audience.
Yeah, that could work.
I mean, if he lost his audience, they would lock him up.
Oh, I see. That's the thing. What happens if the guy locked up gets an audience? I guess he gets better and they let him go.
Yeah, because...
Okay, so in other words, if your insanity is appreciated, then you're part of the mainstream. If it's not, then you must be crazy. Right? Yeah. It's a dangerous world. That's why it's not recommended.
Yeah.
So that's why... All these things, but if you connect it to Krishna, then you get a balance. Because we see is that this balance between the technical and the rasa is very fine. So, how much is the technical elements of the philosophy to that degree? They know the rasa. That's why it's balanced in the Vaishnava line. While sahaja means it's only the rasa. No, they don't know the philosophy. The smartas, the mayavadis, and the philosophy don't know rasa. So therefore, it's off the middle. So the middle is when you know both. The middle is not when there's compromise between east and west. That's not the middle path.
Middle is seva. Right?
Middle is shuddha bhakti.
Shuddha bhakti arises from seva, from devotional service.
Yes, but it's basically you say devotional service arises from devotional service. And that means that arises from association with those who are doing devotional service. Like that. Because bhakti comes from bhakti, there's no other form of it. So saying that, this can't give rise, that will give rise. Saying that east can't give rise, the west can give rise to bhakti, that's bogus. Then you're saying karma is the cause of bhakti.
That's right.
Bhakti comes from bhakti, that's all it comes from. So unless you have the consciousness, then it's not going to work. But the consciousness is thinking about Krishna, not how you don't have to think about India. That's not consciousness. It means it's a kind of consciousness, but it's not the kind that develops bhakti. Bhakti is that support of what is favorable for Krishna, not what is, I like this, so therefore I do this. That's okay for the beginning. That's natural. Everybody's going to start there. But one doesn't remain there. It's just like when they start riding the bicycle, the person falls off. Right? There's always unlimited trees, kids, tricycles, curbs, grates. It's amazing how much stuff just suddenly from the whole universe just comes in and converges on that area where you're driving your bicycle. Right? But it's understood if someone does that, then it's okay. But if you come back after a few years and they're still doing that, then you think something's wrong. Right? And then because you make a comment, they come up with a philosophy. And that's really getting weird. Right? We mentioned that. That's common in that group that you mentioned.
Justification.
We discussed the other day. Do you remember who it was? He was a very famous French philosopher. And it's basically his philosophy, I think, is one of the main bases of modern education. But one of his friends complained that he's such a debauch. Just so low class. And he came up with a philosophy why it's fine. And that's one of your mainstream philosophies that you'll learn if you go to philosophy. I don't remember which, but it's one of those ones from I think 1700s, that one of those, you know, the Enlightenment Wallace, you know. You know, like that. Okay, we'll have one. Yes. Kirtan's not here, so yeah, be there.
We can Google.
Yeah, he's one of the Yeah, according to Google, Shadu and Shastra. Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's the whole point. So, in this case, the one would say, well, what happens to the guru? No, he's part of the sadhu, right? You know, there's different varieties of sadhu. Right? You know, Diksha guru, siksha guru, like that, you know. Then there's Google, right? Is that...
So, one more point, Maharaj, if I may. So the devotee begins to really develop a sense of identity in a relationship with Krishna by the guidance and instruction from the spiritual master.
Yes, that's what it was. That was the point that was made about Bharat Maharaj, is that, you know, in other words, following the instructions of the spiritual master, he had gotten himself to that Uttama platform. But his involvement with the deer, he didn't take instruction on. And so because of that, then it distracted him from moving forward. So even at that stage, it's required. It's not that you get up to a point you don't require anymore. There's this idea that when I get up there, I'm advanced, I don't have to. Prabhupada says this, oh, you don't, like this. That's the Mayavadis do that. That. But for the Vaishnavs, means our acharyas are going to be our acharyas eternally. You know, it's just that it's not so formal, but they're eternally going to be following Rupa, you know, like this, Vishwanath, Baladev, the Goswami. We're eternally going to be following them. So it's not that it's someone else, and it's always going to be in that group under Srila Prabhupada. That's what we're always going to be doing. So it's not that those things change, because there's always something more. As Radharani knows perfectly what to do, so therefore she's guru for everybody. And Balaram, because he is the personality of Godhead, he knows what to do. Right? So he is the, you know, the complete form, and she's the complete form of Shakti. Right? And so they know what to do, so therefore they're the gurus. Like that. So how to express that devotion, that's Radharani. What's the ideal situations? That's Balaram. Like that. So that's why then they both go together. It's not a problem.
Is that right?
Yeah. It says in the Vishnu Purana, the material qualities of such as sattva do not exist in the Lord. May the preeminent Lord, who is purer than all pure beings, be pleased with me. Vishnu Purana 1943. So here the material qualities of sattva, because he's Shuddha sattva. So then all it is you have Shuddha sattva. That's the quality. Right? That's the Lord's quality. Now when we bring in the material world, then you have just material sattva or goodness. Right? So that material goodness means it's goodness with a touch of passion and ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? We increase the passion, then that's that you get the mode of passion. You increase the ignorance, you get that. So all it is just moving farther away from pure goodness. Because pure goodness is, what is the natural thing to do? Goodness is doing the natural thing to do, but you're doing because you should, but ultimately, it's not directly, it's indirectly that there's the motive. Motive passion is you're doing the right thing, but it's for, you have motive. Motive ignorance is you're not doing the right thing. And there's motive. But you don't necessarily even know what the motive is. You just know something has to be done. Like, you know, it's just like the guy standing there on the bridge. He's going to jump off, but he doesn't really know what his motive is. Right? Like that. Otherwise, then, you know, why would he be there? So the whole point is the mode of ignorance then is the farthest away from pure goodness. And goodness is the closest. That's why it's recommended. But the Lord doesn't have the mode of goodness. He has pure goodness. Because goodness means then there's something material you want to gain from it. Though you'll do it in a nice way. That's right. Mm-hmm. Also, there it is. Yes.
Can we say that unless we reach the stage of above sadhana bhakti, we still will have material qualities?
No, because sadhana is, because sadhana one can practice, you know, sadhana bhakti you're going to be practicing anyway until you get to bhava bhakti, right? In other words, we practice sadhana bhakti, then bhav sadhana bhakti, and then there's prema bhakti, right? But that's not a practice anymore, because then you actually have prema, love for Krishna. So sadhana means it's in practice. So whether it's vaidhi or raganuga, it's still sadhana bhakti.
What I meant, that our qualities, of material qualities, they prevent us from being on the platform of prema, because we have contaminations and motives.
Okay, but that's just because of our desires. It's not because of the sadhana itself. It means it's called sadhana bhakti because you're practicing it. Right? It's just like, let's say, you know, an example of a bike rider, someone who's just getting on falling off, we say he's practicing. Someone who's in the Olympics, we don't say he's practicing. Right? Does that make sense? Because they're already on that platform. So, but the writing is the same. The principle is the same. Right? So, that's it's not that there's any different rules for the one who's racing with the bike and one who's not. The bike works in the same way. It's just the one is going faster, one's going slower. And one, hopefully, generally doesn't hit things as much as the other one. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, yeah. Does that work? In other words, the qualities can develop. It's just a matter of your realization. That's all. The qualities are developed. In other words, someone has faith. That faith is actual faith. You know what I'm saying? That's real. So then whatever then develops from that. Now, they may have qualities, and because of that conditioning, they're inclined to engage those qualities. So then from that, they develop the qualities based from there. It can start from there, because what it means is that the qualities of Krishna that are being manifest are coming through this medium rather than starting from that's what you want to do. Does that make sense? You know, it's that the person is, let's say, very enthusiastic by conditioning. That's what their body and mind is. They have energy, they have mental energy, they have some stamina, right? You know, that they're able to, So then they just do that. But that's coming from their karma. But now, if that same person becomes a devotee, now they're going to use that for Krishna. So now they actually develop utsaha, because that's endeavor with intelligence. Now, they're not just doing it because they feel like it. They actually have the knowledge by which they're endeavoring. So now their endeavor is focused on Krishna. So then they actually are enthusiastic. So then it becomes the quality of the soul. But the other ones, as long as the modes are working, then they're happening. Where does when you're hot, when you're not come from? That means it's just the modes of nature. But if you tell them, well, that's because this is how it works. No. But then why is it, you know, you're at the party, nothing's happening. You know, last time you were the life of the party. Why this time you're not? Oh, this and all that. And so the point is you don't have it. It's not yours. Otherwise, then you put those things on the side and go for it. But you don't. Had the wrong lampshade covers, you know, or something. You know, so you just couldn't get the bob, right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Tomorrow is the quality they manifest when the person is liberated from the material mode.
Yes, but the point is the devotee is liberated, he just thinks he's not. So actually they're still developing qualities, because means all souls are technically liberated, but because they don't understand that at all, and there's no connection with the Lord, therefore that's what we call condition, because what they're functioning on is purely their identity with the gross and subtle body. Right? Now, the devotee, then, he is liberated because he's connected to Krishna, so he's actually there, but still, due to the dreaming, I mean, having been in that dreaming state, they're not fully awake, so in some areas they still have that idea that I'm still asleep, the tiger is still chasing me, but, you know, you're sitting on the bed, you know, so unless the tiger is your blanket or something like that, you know, or, you know, maybe your mother-in-law or something, but the thing is it's not going to be happening, right? You know, it's not. Does that make sense? Yeah. No? Sorry.
My mother-in-law is coming soon, that's why.
Oh, I see. That's why then. So this was a laugh of, yeah, that's right, not a laugh of, oh, that's funny. Yes. You get both those kind of laughs.
It's happening, yeah.
Okay. Also, there it is said, the word Bhagavan means that he is complete with power of mind, omniscience, power of senses, power of body, influence, control, and beauty, and is devoid of all inferior qualities. Footnote 4. According to Bhagavad Siddhartha, the meanings are as follows. Jnana means mental knowledge or omniscience, right? Because he's taking all those different six qualities, so he's giving a whole... It means there's a Vishnu Purana, so it's giving another perspective of this. Jnana means mental knowledge or omniscience. Shakti means power of the senses. And because if you, it means you say you have power, but you have to apply that through your senses. Right?
Yes.
Like that. So bala means physical strength. Tejas means beauty. Right? So then, oh yeah, Tejas and Virya. Because yes. Beauty, because Cupid means Tejas and Virya. So Virya means that kind of like, you know, I say. Virya is also mentioned there? Virya, oh, it's here. Okay. Virya means possessing influence, such as that of jewels or mantras. So if you have great a lot of jewels and you have physical beauty.
Everybody likes that.
Hey. So that's Cupid. Right? So that's the point. That's the two qualities he functions from. Right? Oh, I didn't, yeah. There it is. There's our. Finally, they've come around, and now we understand. We've been dealing with these six qualities all along. We just didn't realize how they apply. They're called the Kalyana Gunas, like that. So in the Pancharatra, they talk about this a lot, but they don't talk about it in how we generally talk about the six qualities of Bhagavan. They talk about it like this. So just, I was always trying to make, what's the connection? You know, and slowly said, but here it is. Yes. With clothes on. Virya means possessing influence, such as that of jewels or mantra. Aishwarya means control of all things, because if you have facility and all that, then you control. Like that. Yasha is having fame for qualities of body, mind, and speech. Shri means possessing all wealth. Vairagya means detachment from the material world. Sankarshan was jnana, mental knowledge or omniscience, and bala, physical strength. Right? And then Tejas and Virya, that was Aniruddha. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me, Tejas and Virya, that's Prajumna. Then Shakti and Aishwarya, that is Aniruddha. And Vasudeva means all four. I mean all six. So that's why he's the prominent. The others are his vilas, because they manifest only two out of the six. They have all six, but they only manifest two. Right?
Yes.
So Vasudeva, in his pastimes, manifests all six qualities of Bhagavan. means the others, well, of course they're going to be manifesting it, otherwise how are they doing that? Mm-hmm. But it's not the promise.
There are eight here.
Yes.
Time. Krishna has unlimited, so he threw in a few extras.
When we said Ayurveda, the Sriyan
means this Yasha, means here, Jnana, Bala, is Sankarshan, Tejas, Virya,
Prajumna,
and Shakti and Aishwarya is Aniruddha. And then he being everything is him, so it's it means yes, Vasudeva is all of them. But the point is Bhagavan then means all these elements also, because fame is there, right? He's the most famous, he's the most detached. So that's the, so you're giving here the element of Bala and Shakti means power of the senses and the physical strength. Because otherwise, then you say, what's the difference? He's got Shakti. Mm-hmm. But the Shakti here actually means he's got Shakti, means the senses. Yeah. He's able to engage and do that. Bala means he's got physical strength. Mm-hmm. So then there are two parts of that all-powerful.
So we can say that Sankarshan is Bala and Shakti together. Possible to say?
So, no, it was Bala and Jnana. But the point is the physical strength, like it's like, let's say, Balaram, it's more that you see his application of physical strength than you do power of the senses. Mm-hmm. Like that. But see, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So he has his plow, he does, he's going to drag Hastinapur into the Jamuna, mm-hmm. like that. And he's doing it. It's not that he says, I'm going to do this, he tells his friends, hold me back. He's not doing any of those kind of things. Right? He's actually going to drag it into the Jamuna. Does that make sense? So maybe there needs to be a little bit more thought on it, but the point is we see that there's breaking down. So Aishwarya here is control of all things, but Virya means possessing influence, such as that of jewels or mantra. So that means you have the control, means you have qualities. Like that. So some of them stand on their own, some of them are breaking the quality. So therefore, then Yasha and Vairagya then are on their own. Does that make sense? But does this not mean that the Lord is devoid of all qualities? No, because he's the possessor of unlimited spiritual qualities, right? So you get the tendency comes up is that he has no material qualities, he has no qualities at all. No, he has unlimited spiritual qualities. Material qualities are basically, you can say, the reflection of his potency, these qualities. In other words, it's a transformation of his qualities, right? As Krishna transforms into Shiva, that element, then the Yoga Maya is transferring into Mahamaya. So you have the same qualities, but they're transformed. Now they're mundane. Krishna doesn't have any of those. There's no transformation. So he doesn't transform. His energy transforms. Krishna doesn't transform. That's the point. Otherwise, then how do we say he's always the same? Right? Yes.
This would be the meaning of Shakti Parinama.
Yes, that's the meaning of Shakti Parinama.
He stays as he is.
Yeah, Brahman is same, but Brahman's Shakti transformed. But that's the problem with the Mayavadis. They don't understand Brahman has Shakti, because then they say he has qualities. So he's without qualities. He's without the transformed qualities. Right? In other words, the internal potency then transforming into the external potency. Right? It means the shadow. So in other words, the internal potency can function through the shadow. The shadow deals with the material world. But the shadow does what you do. You raise your arm, the shadow raises its arm. It's the same kind of thing. So the mechanics are the same. That's why it looks the same. That's why we think it's the same. Mm-hmm. Right? So we think it's still the place of happiness and eternality. We still think we're in Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. Right? But, after, you know, occasionally we get this revelation that it's not Vaikuntha, and then we want to kill ourselves, you know, or we have to, you know, completely change your life, or, you know, do something weird and wild, go jump out of an airplane, you know, go skydiving, or go, you know, how do you say, climb, you know, Kilimanjaro, or, you know, do something, you know, that it's, you know, of course it has to be, you know, it has to be something you're friends with, consider is cool, right, you know, that's also there. You wouldn't go down and, let's say, play stickball with the local, you know, gang or something like that. They would say, that's a little dangerous. But, you know, you go climb a volcano, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Whatever.
Maharaj?
Yes?
On the previous point about the qualities, how can we understand that the Aniruddha has the power of the senses when Prajumna is the lord of the senses?
Lord and who runs them is another thing. It's just like, let us say you have some large machinery, okay? Technical machinery. So, therefore, it's such that you have to have a man who controls the machine. Sees that it's always running and all the different things like that. But what the machine's going to do, there's a different man saying what's going to happen. Right, so the intelligence is what controls mechanically the senses. The mind is what decides where that mechanics will be applied. Therefore, the mind is the lord of the senses.
Oh.
You understand? So both are called lord of the senses. But in practical application, it's going to be the mind. Because you're going to do what the mind says, not what the intelligence says. That's why the beginning is the mind by samskar, and the end is the mind by, how you say, false ego, your identity. In between, you have this reasoning, but it's still only reasoning where the mind wants to deal with reasoning. So it's all there is mind. Right? In other words, we make the mind is basically one thing. We have these subsections. There are three different things, but the three together is what we the subtle body is what we call the mind. Right, we don't always have to say mind, intelligence, false ego. We do that so we catch that there's difference. But as far as application, it's the mind. The mind dictates what we do. And we identify with the mind, therefore, hey, you know, we're going along for the ride. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like the tour guide or something, you know. They take us through the things, and we just go along for the ride. Right? Just that they're not necessarily great tour guides. Riding your bicycle through the brambles is not your idea of enjoyment. But hey, the mind will take you there, doesn't it? Because it's dead matter. The point is, the mind doesn't get scratched. Right, like that. Neither do we, but we think we do. So that's the problem. The mind doesn't care. The body doesn't care. We care. Right,
you know. But who feels pain?
We feel the pain, the body doesn't feel the pain.
Even though we identify with the body.
We identify with it, that's why we feel the pain. Otherwise, dead matter really doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole thing. You know, you take a body that's you know, the soul has left.
Yes.
Right? You know,
yes.
Stick it in front of the television on, you know, Saturday afternoon soap opera. And, you know, they don't pull their hair out or anything, right? Right? So, what does that mean? It means they don't care.
There's nothing going on.
So, who cares? It's the soul.
Matter matters because we matter.
Yes, right? Like that. We identify with it. We make matter matter. And then my matter matters more than your matter, right? So then it just keeps ongoing, right? Yeah. Yeah, what doesn't matter is your matter. What matters is my matter.
Your matter matters, but my matter matters.
There's more. that's the good one. Yes, that's the good one. Okay. Text.
Oh, wait, where were we?
Okay, in the Padma Purana it's said, so this is then making that point. So that's why the Acharya asked, But does this mean that the Lord is devoid of all qualities? No, because he's the possessor of unlimited spiritual qualities. So here's the evidence. Right? In the scriptures, the Padma Purana said, in the scriptures, the Lord of the universe is said to be without qualities. This means that he is without inferior material qualities. Right? So there's the point. So the Mayavadis, you know, they don't deal with... So this is the time when they'll start quoting Upanishads, because this is Purana.
Mm.
Like that. So that's why they do those tricks. It's because it is clear here. This verse supports the refutation. And in the first canto it is said, the Lord possesses many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never separated from him. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.29. Thus, Krishna is endowed with millions of spiritual qualities. He possesses great power. So that's why Rupa Goswami gives 64 that are prominent. And within those, everything will be subdivisions. But they unlimitedly, you know, go out. That's why only his Sarup Shakti, which has the unlimited energies to apply those qualities, right? Because a quality is appreciated when it's applied. And to apply it, there must be a form. Right? So that means the Sarup Shakti, it manifests the forms and activities by which you can appreciate the quality. So that means that because Krishna has unlimited qualities, you have to be dealing with the unlimited Shakti. Then you have a match. Right? Because all other energies are expansions from that. They won't be able to deal with all. But the point is any quality is perfect in itself. So it's not the problem. And because it's all part of that total, that whole, as long as it's going how Krishna would like and arranged by the internal potency, then whichever quality is being tasted at the moment, then that's what it does. And wherever we fit in, then we may be more prominent or less prominent in a particular endeavor. Does that make sense? But the whole thing, it's nice anyway. And so they're just unlimitedly going on and tasting the unlimited qualities. So there's unlimited manifestations of the pastimes so that all these subtle nuances can be tasted. Yes?
Can we say that in the spiritual world we develop qualities in accordance to our position in the service of the Lord?
Yes. I mean, the 26 qualities will all be there, but which will be prominent in any one situation and all that. You know, so there's natural, because the soul is a personality, and each soul is individual. There's not two personalities that are the same. Right? It means they have categories where you can group them. And in those groups, that's where they relate to each other. Right? And the elder gopis hang out with elder gopis. Yes. The cowherd boys hang out with cowherd boys. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So like that. Then they match. So then they work. But each one of them is different, unique. That's the whole point, is that Krishna is unlimited, therefore his energies are unlimited, so there's unlimited manifestations of that uniqueness. So that's why every soul is unique.
Yes.
Right? But that uniqueness is only fully appreciated in the spiritual world. In the material world, there's, of course, a uniqueness of the particular modes that are there, but the same way you can classify them. Like that. And then, having classified them, you may appreciate that or not. You know, it's just like what I was mentioning before about the connection between the artist and the intelligence and the genius and that and the sense gratification and all these things. Now, there are those amongst that group who can fully appreciate that, and it doesn't bother them in the least because they can just see it clearly. This is how it is. But most of them, you bring this up, it really, really bothers them because it's just that just the ego and stuff is that. But there are those that, yeah, no, it's like that. But it's more rare. So does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why then in categorization, you have to make it practical that they can use it. Otherwise, when you categorize, sometimes they get grumpy. You know what I'm saying? Because here it's limited. Right? It's practically unlimited. Like the amount of sand in the universe is limited. But it's practically for all us, it's unlimited. Like, you know, like that. That's why they give those things of all the sand or the... rays of the sun,
yes.
Right? And they gave a third one that you could possibly count those, but you wouldn't be able.
The ocean?
No.
Well, sure, unless it was drops of water or something. Yeah, like that. Oh, atoms, yeah. So yeah, like that. So then the thing is you possibly could, but who can? But the point is Krishna is beyond that, so it's unlimited. You can't count. So it's so unlimited that even he's amazed. That's the point. He's so amazing that he even amazes himself. You know? Like sometimes we'll amaze ourselves. Wow, how did I do that? Because we didn't actually do that.
Exactly.
You know, we were empowered to do that. This wow, that's impressive. But for Krishna, it is him and his energy. So he does these things and even he's impressed. Like Dwarka Krishna's, you know, sitting there because the marble is so well polished, you know. And so then he looks at, he can see himself, and he's, wow, that guy's beautiful. So even he's like attracted. But he's not saying, this is me. He's just saying, that is such beauty, right? Like that, so. Okay. He possesses great powers and has a form completely filled with bliss. The Brahman without qualities, without form, and without distinction is said to be like the effulgence of the Lord, like the rays of the sun. So here he's saying like. So here's where that comes from. Prabhupada also mentioned. So his qualities, it's like that. It's just that it's there, but it's not exactly. It is, but it's different. In other words, there's differentiation between, because the sun and the sun rays, they go together. But there's still a difference in the attributes. Right? So they're one thing, but different attributes. So the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman, is like the effulgence of Krishna and his qualities. The Surupa Brahman is described as pure awareness. And thus Arjuna in the Harivamsa, during the episode where the Brahmana's children disappear, describes the Brahman as a realization of a shining substance. This verse describes that quality. The Brahman is without qualities such as form or taste, and without distinction of elements like earth. It does not have a substantial form. So in this way we can say it's without qualities. But all the inherent qualities on which these are based, those are from the Lord. So it's the effulgence of that. But there's no manifestation of that, because that requires the Shakti and the interaction. But then that's called Bhagavan.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Brahman with such qualities as compared to the effulgence of the sun. This has been given in the example of Narada seeing the Lord from a distance as a mass of light. So he sees his effulgence. And then we see in the Ishopanishad the same principle. Please remove this so I can see. Like that. Okay. So in other words, you don't get the form and taste. In other words, the sense objects, right, that you get, and you don't have them in material, the Mahabhuta. So these are not manifest in Brahman. But the qualities on which they're based is, because just like the effulgence, you get light. You see. Some may explain this phenomena as follows. Quote, so this must mean a... I'm not sure if this is a... Purva Paksha, or if this is just another view. Just as the sun can be perceived by all peoples as a mass of light, it can be seen as a devata mounted on a chariot by worshippers who have been given the proper vision, so the Lord becomes visible as Paramatma. Okay. A mass of consciousness to those with a mass of consciousness to those with a predominance of knowledge, and as a human form to those with a predominance of bhakti. Okay, so then here you get all these. So the Brahman, then the Paramatma level, and then just the knowledge. You're not even getting the mass of light. Like it mentions, the yogis are seen as knowledge. Like that. Because whatever knowledge they're experiencing and understanding, that's still coming from the Lord. It's still Him. So He is that knowledge. So anybody who gets up to a very advanced level is able to... It means anybody, of course, can perceive the Lord if there's that intensity of focus. Right, somebody gets really intent, but they take it and put it onto the thing. But then there's this point where it's beyond. I've even seen, as I mentioned, these top musicians that they talk about
music as this unlimited ocean. So they're able to appreciate that it's beyond just the notes that they know and the instruments that they know and the voice and the control and all going through all those things. That's how they saw music in the beginning. In the beginning, they only saw that. I learned the notes, I learned the rags, I do it like this, I do it like that, you know, isn't this great? But then they get to the point to see that it's so far beyond that that they all say, I'm standing on the shore.
Yes.
And it's like an ocean. So they're starting to catch that Brahman element of the greatness of it, or, you know, so that knowledge element of it. That here is, you know, music is beyond. So people get it, they appreciate that. But then the difficulty comes. So the yogis, that he's knowledge, so everything you know about, that's him. But still, because it's impersonal, then it's not specific, then, you know, it remains in the Brahman platform. But it's not that, you know, in other areas they see like that, but, you know, they have some. So everybody is seeing, but it's just how much. Right.
So they will say that music is special because they see that.
Yeah, they see that.
Music and not in,
yeah, just like, that's why in each one, each shastra mentions how this is the most important. Because for those who see like that, this is the shastra for them that's most important. Because if I say music is the most important, all the musicians will go, yes. But everybody else will go, what's he talking about? You know, so that means for those who say yes, that is the most important scripture. And for someone else, what they'll say yes to. You know, that's most important. Right? So that's the whole point. But the actual most important is pure devotion, means Bhagavatam.
So they're important because they lead.
They can connect to Bhagavatam. Right? In other words, they are easily connectable. So that's why they're important. If they're not easily connectable, then, you know, they're not. So if they're not connectable, what's the importance? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I have my phone, I want to charge it, and then somebody hands me a microphone, you know, cable and jack.
Yes. What to do?
Not the useless. There's no connection. So that's what we would call avidya. It's just not connectable. Then you have one that you can connect it there and connect that to something else and connect that to something else, and then you plug it in, and then that's okay, that's great.
Yes.
So that's the...
Mark?
Yes?
So the thing is that the appreciation of you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it comes only after a long practice. Before that, we don't really have any taste. Some taste
yes.
is there,
yeah.
But it's not.
Yes, but the point is, but as we were giving here, that is that effulgence. That's the effulgence of the Lord. Means it's because it's like His qualities. You know what I'm saying? So we're seeing. In other words, we're going beyond the qualities that we see of this world, and then we're there seeing that. But that's just the effulgence. The devotee will keep going, and then that is coming from the person. So then they'll see the person. So going from the mundane forms to, you don't have the mundane forms, but there's that eternal element. But then you have to get from that eternal element into the person. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So the first is only useful because it can let you understand the second. The second is only useful because you understand the third. Now, if you can go from the first to the third, you don't have to bother with the second. Like the gopis, they just saw Krishna and said, this guy's great. And they surrendered their life to him. So they didn't bother with the intellectual stuff in between. So if you can do that, that's better. Because it's about relationship. It's about the person. But much of the time, because we're so attached here, you basically kind of have to use a crowbar and a 2.5 kilo hammer to kind of work things out. You know, then we're kind of a little bit willing to let go, only because every time we go to put our fingers, then there's the hand. That makes sense. So it means engaged properly, then Maxwell could do something, right? You know, he could create some favorable situation. Okay. Krishna and Balaram are not different objects.
Brahman.
Krishna and Brahman. How did they get Balaram? I did that before.
Krishna
and Balaram. Is there something else in here? Is there some other letters? Okay, because generally we just pull, you know, put it together. that thing where you see and then you pull all the things. And
yeah.
Then, yeah. So as long as it makes sense, then it works. If not, we'll make something out of it. Okay. Krishna and Brahman are not different objects. Though this is so, the realization of Brahman with form is superior to the formless consciousness. In other words, everything's Brahman. So that point is there. When the Shastra says everything's Brahman, it means that. But the point is, Krishna as Brahman is the form of Brahman. That's better than the formless form of Brahman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Or formless aspect of Brahman. Yes. Though this is so, the realization of Brahman with form is superior to the formless consciousness. Because of the endowment of qualities such as sweetness in the form with qualities. Thus the manifestation of the Absolute as Krishna is superior to that of the Brahman. Because right, Paramatma is just a step in between. It's not a place to sit. Right? Because we see the yogis, when they have Paramatma realization, they either move forward to bhakti or backwards to impersonal. So it's not a place to stay, because the point is, the Lord is a person. Right? So he is, Paramatma is Bhagavan for those who see him that way. But if you don't see him that way, he only manifests on his own. But otherwise, you know, he's there, he's got Sweta Dweep, he's sitting on his Ananta, he's got his associates, you know, he's got all kinds of things going on. But we only see that aspect of Paramatma. Right? So it's either you understand fully how he's a person, or you just accept those kind of, universal aspects and then move back to Brahman. So that's that. Moving forward, that's useful. That's better.
So, identifying in the meditation of the jnani, when it comes to seeing Paramatma, it seems there is a lack of knowledge that helps them actually see Paramatma as being no different than Krishna and identifying as a servant. Instead, they see, oh, this is me, and therefore they go back to it.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Well, because it's lack of knowledge, but it's not knowledge meaning book knowledge or something that they could hear in the way of technical understanding. It's a lack, that understanding that's come from the mercy of the Lord.
So
it's not that they could study more and then understand.
Do we call
Bhagavan
this Sambhik Chakti? The knowledge.
Basically,
that the Lord is,
yeah. That's why we talk about Parampara. Because knowledge, name, all these things, if they don't come in Parampara, they don't have the Chit Shakti. So the Sahajas are chanting the holy name. They're using the same, they're using their tongue, they're using the same way. You know, the words are coming out, great tunes, you know, all the things are happening like that, great performance. But it doesn't have the Chit Shakti, therefore no one gets any spiritual benefit. Right? But the Chit Shakti is there, therefore even the neophyte is chanting. People who hear that, they get benefit. Because the name that goes is the same name. See, the point that why you want to hear from the advanced soul is that he's going to give you the understanding of how this is Krishna. That's one thing. Two is that how he's chanting is how Krishna will reciprocate. But the point is it's still Krishna. That's why you get the name from the spiritual master. You can still become more advanced because it's still Krishna. You're not restricted because he's only giving you this much, you know, this much of the name, this much potency. Therefore, he doesn't have the potency of more.
Right, right.
That's why when you're saying that spiritual master is, you know, the supreme, he's this, he's that, the uttam, all these things. On one level, that's the meaning. That's what Madhvacharya is talking about when he talks about the demigods. When it says Indra, it means Krishna, because the potency that Indra uses to manage the universe, that's Krishna's potency. Just this is the office that potency is coming through. Therefore, he's respected as the manager of the universe. You can say, hey, this guy's got irons all over his body. Why does he have eyes all over his body? Right? So now, is a guy with eyes all over his body because of that? Is he supposed to be managing the universe? You know, I think we can do better than that, no? You know? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is no, he's representing. So that's the point. So these things, when they say, no, but how can he be? He's just not only Prabhupada, the Uttamaraka. It's like that. It's like, but the potency is what's coming through. They connect themselves to Prabhupada. That's the potency. You don't replace them because we're people. So there has to be a difference between Prabhupada as a person and the spiritual master as a person.
Yes.
And because there's a relationship, because he's made you a devotee, or you've been made by that devotee of Prabhupada. Then that means that there's a relationship in this line. So this idea is that he becomes greater. That's Mayavada. That's not personal. So all these concepts that come up, they feel that they're talking something spiritual, being very real. But this is just contamination of material energy. Their knowledge is being clouded by illusion. And generally the ones who say these things the most are those who have been well trained or identify with their training in the modern academy. Because if they don't have that, the simple villager, okay, yeah, great. He doesn't have a problem because he doesn't have those kind of those conditionings. That no, everything is by my mind. What I see, that's reality. Because that's what the modern academy is teaching. That what you perceive with your senses, that's truth. And if you can't perceive with your senses, it's not real. So therefore, unless like Einstein had made calculations of like these protons and electrons and all these that they didn't know about before. He already made calculations, they exist, but they're not considered fact or truth until they find them. And then 30, 40, 50, 60 years later when they find them, then they go, okay, now it's a fact. Like that. So that's the weakness in it. So therefore, what I see, that's the fact. So if I see the guy, and here's, you know, Bhakta Jose, and he joined after me, and now he's the big preacher and everybody's like that, how can he be the guru? You know, he was the guy there that was, you know, stashing the halava in his locker, you know, and stuff like that, and, you know, he'd sleep to him, you know, so many times, you know, he'd wake him up for Mangal Arati, and then go out and come back, and he's still asleep. You know, so how can he be the Shakshad Hari playing that? You know what I'm saying? Did I quote it properly? Yeah, okay.
Sounds like me.
Okay. You're Bhakta Jose? I've always wanted to meet Bhakta Jose.
I've had in the locker room many, many times.
Yeah. There's a good chance that every Bhakta does that.
Yeah. And Burpee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Burpee.
And Sunday.
What about those samosas?
Awesome.
Yeah, those big samosas.
You can lock them all.
Yeah, no, they're good. Right?
Old box of samosas.
Yeah. They're easier also. You don't need a bowl and they don't tip over and stuff like that. Yeah.
One devotee got diabetes for life for taking the entire Mongol sweet offering, which was not offered.
Ooh. That'll teach him. Just had to wait. Yeah, sad, but true.
He's here, by the way.
No.
No, don't get touched.
You want to leave things as
a
wonderful.
I see, as it said. Yeah. Okay. Moreover, the Gita says, he who serves me alone in pure devotional service surpasses the gunas and becomes endowed with similarity to Brahman. Right? Because it means similarity to Brahman means one's transcendental. Now the clock's going to speed up. This is called Shakti. Or maybe, no, it's Aishwarya because it has control. Right?
Yes.
That's good. Aishwarya means control of all things.
Over all things, yes.
And that is the manifestation of Aishwarya. Okay. Endowed with similarity to Brahman means transcendental. But the point is then that becomes freed from the modes, is because the bhakti and relation with the Lord, then one develops on that Bhagavan platform.
Yeah.
I am the ultimate shelter of that Brahman. And I am also the shelter of eternal liberation, Bhagavad Dharma, and the rasas of Prema Bhakti, Bhagavad Gita 14, 26 and 27. By bhakti fixed in the heart, one can also perceive the Brahman. He who worships me with full concentration through devotion becomes qualified for realizing Brahman, a mass of formless consciousness. In other words, that's the point. Krishna is everything. Because that is... that is that aspect. That's why it's not different. The Krishna, Bhagavan, and Brahman are not different because Krishna is everything, but that's that Brahman aspect. But then at the same time, he's the person. Right? Because that's where the sweetness, all the different things are there. So
So one can understand that, but the point is one doesn't stop there. That's not the, oh, wow, great, now we're done. No, then one keeps going. This is the apparent meaning, but the sentence actually means that the devotee attains similarity to Brahman because he's on the transcendental position. So for him, that just seeing that there's just the Brahman is not important. It's that there's, who's it coming from? Who's it connected with? So he's therefore on the transcendental position. So that's the sat element of the soul. Right? Thus the Shruti says, Niranjana Parama Samyam Upaiti. The person, the purified person, attains likeness to the Supreme Lord. Mukanda Upanishad 3.1.3. That's why I said you have to balance all these, because it's going to say these things that are oneness, it's going to say these things that are difference. Yes. So then you have to come, what actually works on both platforms? Because mm-hmm. the platforms that the Mayavadis take of only the oneness doesn't yes. answer all the questions.
Yes.
Right? If you take only the personal and reject yes. the impersonal, then it also doesn't answer. But if you understand yes. both of them, then all situations can be explained.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That makes sense. One should not say that the verse means that the jiva becomes Brahman. That's where they take it to extreme, because it's already said they're different and they're a Shakti. So that Shakti doesn't become Brahman, right? Because that's Krishna. According to the Vishnu Purana, that is a false statement. Right? So it's the energy of Brahman. So we are transcendental because we are one form of Brahman. Krishna is the supreme Brahman, that's the source of all other Brahman, which means the jiva is the internal potency, the external potency. According to the Vishnu Purana, that is a false statement, means he becomes Brahman. It is said that the supreme goal is merging the Paramatma with the individual soul. This is false because one object cannot become another different object. If it's actually an object, you can't merge them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If there's a jiva and there's Paramatma, you can't merge them, so say that's the goal. You can't do that. It means, because if that merged aspect is there, there was no object in the first place. There was no separate object. So say it's illusion creates that, but then the point is then illusion is an object. You know, you're getting all these different things and saying they exist, but we're going to get rid of that by removing it. That's not there. The soul is already transcendental. He's already Brahman. He has to realize it. But he's still a separate kind of Brahman. Yes?
I was thinking also, example that, you know, we mentioned yesterday, water in salt in water.
Yes.
So when you evaporate the water, the salt is still there.
Yes, that's the point. So they're always separate because they're two objects, so they don't actually merge.
You don't see it, but then it comes out
still,
again.
Yes, that's a good point.
So the merging is the illusion.
Yes.
That
they're one, because salt doesn't become water, water doesn't become salt. It's still two objects.
It just looks
so that means one object won't get enough to become another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that means, does that make sense? So that's why, then you take it when we get into the Vaivartavad, the atomic theory. Mm-hmm. That's the element of truth in it, but that's also then where the shortcoming comes, is that you have earth elements. So earth elements won't become fire elements, won't become air elements, but you can take it by combining them, you can get a chair or a table or a tree or a house.
Yes.
But those are temporary, then they'll go back to their atoms.
Yes.
Right? So then but if you leave it at that, but the point is where do the atoms get the power to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Pradhan sits there and never makes anything.
Mm-hmm.
So why did it do? It's because of the glance of Mahavishnu. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu goes there. And then Kiradakshaya Vishnu then, you know, manages it. So that's because of the Lord. And why is all that happening? It's not that the Lord has to do that. It's because of his free will. So the Lord, by his will, is doing that. Does that make sense? So one object never becomes another. It is false to say that the small jiva can become the immense Lord. But how is it that the devotee of Vasudeva's son, apparently human, becomes similar to Brahman, spiritual? The Lord answers, I am the supreme shelter of that Brahman, which is formless and conscious. I am the supreme shelter of eternal liberation and eternal processes such as hearing in bhakti yoga. I am the basis of happiness of pure prema. By performing bhakti to me, attaining that Brahman is nothing wonderful. Right, so therefore he attains, because he's the shelter. If you attain the Lord, you automatically attain Brahman. Right, it's an explanatory note. Having attained the state of Brahman, a person should then worship me, filled with bliss, the shelter of a form which performs pastimes. The author's verses now explain the two verses from the Gita. The person who has performed concentrated bhakti after attaining the Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord, should worship me, the basis of Brahman, the shelter of a form which performs pastimes because of previous performance of bhakti.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Shastra says that we are eternally related to Krishna.
Yes.
And by coming in contact with the spiritual master and the practice of devotional service through the process of sadhana, we regain that relationship.
Yes.
But then it seems that we have options.
You have options, but so who's going to take the options?
Does that mean the relationship changes? If it's
it means you can if you want, but generally who does? Right. Let's say somebody likes strawberries, the best of all fruits, and there's a bunch of variety of fruits there, he'll take the strawberries. He could take the others, but he doesn't.
So how do we know when we have a certain, through the process of sadhana, we develop a particular affiliation for a rasa or something? How do we know that this was the one that was eternal, or it's a new one?
What does it matter? I'm saying, you know, saying these are the things that keep you up at night when you should be sleeping, so you can get up for Mangal Arati.
Counting sheep.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah. So in other words, they're not important, because the point is when you get to that platform, then you'll know anyway. So why speculate now when you can't know? You know, that's the point. It's not important. If there's an attraction, then that's fine. But whether that was the original or not, it doesn't matter. But we generally see if someone sticks to their own rasa. It's not a, you know, in technically you could change, but this doesn't happen. Just like Krishna says, no one falls from the spiritual world. Technically you could, but they don't. Because you're just talking mathematics. So you could, but they don't. Mm-hmm. So like that. So that's the point. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the point is it's not about the specifics of the rasa that's important. Too much focus is put on the specifics of the rasa. We see that, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually the acharyas, when they're talking about relationship with Krishna, they're talking about pure unalloyed devotion. Right? That's what they always talk about. No, but that's what they talk about. Nice. Like that. Then, the interesting thing is that's the first stage in bhava, is actually having that generic attitude of pure devotion that, let's say, for our case, the residents of Vrindavan have. That's the first step. The second step is, now within that, what's the specifics?
Yes.
In other words, Braja Bhakti is one entity. Then it has these five subdivisions. It's not that, you know, there's this and there's that, they're not connected. No, rasa is one thing. We make it into many things, but rasa is one thing. Like that. Even material rasa, it's still following mechanics. It's just an inferior form of it. But there's only one, rasa is one thing. It always acts in the same way. We'll say, oh, material is one thing, spiritual. No, it still works the same way. Like that. But the point is then, since you're dealing, why not deal on that topmost platform? So Braja Bhakti is that aspect of rasa. Then within that, then there's the subdivisions. So the second stage is what is the specifics? That's Varana Dasa. So Shravana Dasa is hearing about the position. I'm servant of Krishna, the nature of the, like this. That's the first. Second is adjusting with that.
Then third is absorbing your mind, isn't that? Does that make sense? So that's where that's always focused on. And then if on the side this develops, then great. But it's not that that's the important element. The important element is, because even if you have an inkling of that, but unless you're performing pure, unalloyed devotional service, you can't use it.
Yes.
You know? And so pure, unalloyed devotional service starts with pure devotional service. So the first thing we have to do is get beyond mixed devotional service.
Yes.
You know, and most, and well, you know, what we really have to worry about is just mixed, right? Because mixed in Sanskrit is called Shankara, right? That's where the Hari Bawa comes in. Shankara means mixed.
Yeah.
So we're Shankara.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the means. Okay, so one who has performed bhakti, concentrated on that, naturally he understands the transcendental position. But having appreciated the transcendental position, he continues moving on to the person, to worshiping the person, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So this idea is, no, that element's not there. That's why it's discussed, because the beginning stages of bhava, you're situated in the spiritual platform and appreciating the spiritual platform. So if you don't then focus on the person who is the shelter of that, you're not going to progress and get to prema.
Yes.
You understand? That's the whole point. We'll say, oh, okay, well, that's not us. We just, you know, chant Hare Krishna. But yes, but this is, you have to make sure that when you're chanting, when you appreciate the transcendental, then you're not thinking that's enough. Because it's nice, because there's no material disturbance.
Yes.
So we have to continue on so that it becomes, it's not about not having material disturbance, it's about the positive of serving Krishna. Therefore, that unlimited, that filled with bliss. Right. So that's why they bring that out here. I'm the basis of happiness of pure prema. By performing bhakti in me, attaining that brahman is nothing wonderful. Because that's just the situation. The other is dynamic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That you've attained the theme park.
Mm.
Okay, nice. But if you don't do something in the theme park, not a whole lot of happiness. How much can you go on being happy? Hey, we're here, we made it finally, you know, the traffic jam and this and that. You know, then how long can you do that for? But you have to do something, right? No? So that's the whole point. Brahman is basically, that platform is nothing wonderful. So doing something means you do something with the person. That's what we're trying to do. So we want to make sure we do that, because that's what we didn't do before.
Yes.
Right? We only appreciated the environment and then thought, I want to enjoy this environment, rather than this environment's the environment to, you know, serve Krishna and enjoy in relationship to Him. So we dropped off the personal part. That, therefore, if you're only dealing with the Brahman part, but if it's not progressive, connected with the Lord, it's seen not connected to the Lord, that's material Brahman.
Yes.
Not spiritual Brahman.
Yes.
And so then that brings us here.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why it's an important element. It's subtle, but it's just... So make sure we don't make that mistake. So we focus just on Krishna, and we're only interested in Krishna, not in Brahman and this and that, then it goes very well.
Yes.
One just goes by, because Brahman's there. Okay, great. But, you know, it's about Krishna.
Yes.
Because of previous performance of bhakti, right, the shelter form which performs pastime, because of previous performance of bhakti, because you performed bhakti before, that's why now being on the transcendental platform, you continue and move on to prema. But because we didn't do that before, then we didn't catch that there's something more special going on here in the pastime. Therefore, we don't get association of Vaishnavas, because that's how devotional service starts, right? And so therefore, then we remain in that neutral state of Brahman. And so tatastha means we're spiritual and material are at the same place. That means the soul, which is spiritual, and the body, which is material, are in the same place at the same time. You understand? See the mechanics? So it works. It's very... So that's why, because of previous performance of bhakti, that's why he's able to move forward. So generally, that's why it said, once going there, one doesn't return. Because one came here in the first place because one wasn't interested in bhakti. But now, going back, one will, being interested in bhakti, one's not going to make the mistake again. Right? One, just because it's a bad experience, and two, you now you know what to look for. Right? There's that taste, because to get there, there's going to already have been ruchi and asakti. So a taste and attachment are there. So what do you fill that in with? Right? You have taste, right, which is on the one side, that interest, right, the pujuna, right? And then you have attachment, aniruddha, what's in between? It'll be before. Vasudeva. Good call, good call. Yeah, but you narrowed it down to two. So the Abhideya then means then you perform, so Bhav Sada is an activity, that you're engaged in devotional activities. Right? So that's the thing. So that's what you're doing. So that's why you won't come back. That's why we'll be successful. But if we're a little slow on the uptake, then it will, the process will be a little slower.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So in other words, one can already be involved in pastimes from a very early stage. If not, at some point one will get involved. But one wants to avoid, you know, that. So because of that, it's just a matter of moving forward.
Okay. 220. The result of fixed devotion is prema seva. All the enemies of the Lord attain the state of impersonal Brahman. Now that makes an interesting thing. So, I mean, of course, because impersonals aren't exactly there, but the Mayavadis are. Okay. The result of fixed devotion is prema seva. That's why it's being studied in devotional service is important. Because then that will get the result of being stable in devotional service is prema. But if the particle of consciousness, the jiva, merges into the mass of consciousness, the Brahman, it would not be possible for the jiva to later leave the state and serve Krishna. Right? This is the argument. The shelter of Brahman. This verse answers that doubt. Because once you've merged into that, how would you leave that and go on to the personal? Those who are enemies of Krishna attain the state of merging into Brahman permanently. The Smriti scripture says, beyond the material realm lies Siddhaloka, where the Siddhas and the demons killed by Krishna attain permanently, remain permanently merged in the happiness of Brahman, Brahmanda Purana. Therefore, to remain in that state of Brahman cannot be the final result after performing bhakti. Right, because only the siddhas and the demons go there. So it can't be the place. He's using it like this so that we understand that's not where devotees go.
Yes.
Right? The discussion is not about the permanently being there. The discussion is about that they're going there. They're the ones that go there and are situated there and stay there. Right? But devotees don't. Therefore, to remain in that state of Brahman cannot be the final result after performing bhakti. Beyond the eight coverings of the universe lies the place of Brahman. This is place composed of a formless mass of light, similar to the effulgence of the Lord that Narada saw from a distance. By concentrating on that Brahman while remaining ignorant of the Lord's lotus feet, persons on giving up their bodies remain merged in that Brahman. These persons are called siddhas. Right. So these would be your Brahmavadis, and then they become siddhas. Right. Those who are killed by Krishna also attain that merging. But those who offend the Lord on approaching liberation, and whose meager knowledge of Brahman is consequently... But those who offend the Lord on approaching liberation, and whose meager knowledge of Brahman... And whose meager knowledge of Brahman is...
Consequently.
Destroyed for all
that. Consequently destroyed.
For that. Some type or the
other. Oh, it needs to be, the comma needs to go after destroyed. Yeah. Is consequently destroyed, fall down.
Yeah.
Okay. Persons who are falsely under the impression of being liberated without devotional service to the Lord may almost reach the goal of the Brahmajyoti, but by their disrespect of the Lord, such as so-called liberated persons fall down into material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10-2:32. These are your Mayavadis, right? Or that kind of persons, because they never actually get to Brahman. That's the point, because they offend the Lord, so naturally they'll fall down. Right? The person, the Mayavadi, sannyasi, he won't go into the temple, but he'll walk around the temple. He'll walk around everywhere. Brahman is everywhere. It's all Brahman. Why would they, if they say, why would we go in the temple? Where are the deities? But the deity would also be Brahman. Mm-hmm. So they're discriminating between the Lord in his form as Brahman and everything else. But the point is they can't go in the temple. And that's not Brahman, but at least that's the mode of goodness. In their mind, the top mode of goodness is the form of Vishnu. Mm-hmm. Why would they be happy walking around in the streets? It's just all passion and ignorance.
Yes. Right?
So therefore, they're offensive.
So they're in the mode of ignorance?
They're in the mode of ignorance. That's why they fall down. Okay. So right here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.